Paulette family, as you take your seat, can you give a hand praise for our praise and worship team? Yeah. All right. Appreciate you, Willie. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right. Paulette family, my name, for those who don't know me, my name is CJ Lucky. I have the honor and privilege of being a youth pastor here. If you're watching online, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. We encourage you to share this live stream if you're watching online. We share memes, we share recipes, we can share the word of God. Amen. So just want to say it's an honor and privilege to be here. Before I go forward, I want to give honor and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life. He's my way maker. He's my provider. He's my best friend. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But with his strength and with his grace, I can do everything that he has called me to do. Secondly, I want to honor our leaders. I want to honor Pastor Kurt, First Lady Cindy, Paula and family. Can we give them a hand praise? Thank you guys so much for how you lead. You guys are amazing, incredible leaders, and I'm so thankful to serve under you guys' leadership. Thank you guys so much for all that you do. We appreciate it, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to give honor to all our pastors, our ministers, on staff, and I also want to give honor to you, Paula and family, and certainly last but not least, I want to give honor to my wife and my sister-in-law who is in the building today. All right, before we get into the word, I want to go ahead and have you guys turn to James chapter 5, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Jesus' half-brother, the carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus' half-brother, James. We're going to go to James chapter 5. All right? All right. You guys got it? Come on, talk back to me. You got it? All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer really quick. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you are going to do. Father, I just thank you so much for the honor and privilege it is to be able to preach the word this morning. Father, I ask that it be your words, not my words, your way, not my way, your will, not my will. Completely remove CJ Lucky out of the way, and your Holy Spirit, which is my advocate, my spokesperson, Father, my mouthpiece, speak through me, Father. And I just thank you so much that the seeds that are going to be planted this morning will resonate into the hearts and the soil of your children this morning. And it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Everybody say amen. So Paulette family, this morning we're going to talk about something that I struggle with, and I hope and I pray that I'm not the only one that's riding in this boat, okay? We're going to talk about something that many of us in the room, if we want to be transparent and honest, we struggle with, okay? And the word we're going to talk about today is patience. By show of hands, how many of y'all struggle with y'all? I can't wait to take this afternoon nap. Y'all, I haven't slept since last Saturday, okay? I'm running on fumes right now in the grace of God. But we're very impatient. If I were to tell you guys, if everyone in the room was strangers and didn't know each other, husbands, you didn't know your wives, you didn't know your husbands, especially to the couples, it applies to you. I would say, hey, fall in love right now. You'd be like, what? That's not possible. You can't fall in love in a hurry. You can't love in a hurry. Love in a hurry. What about this? If I was like, hey, right now, for the next 10 seconds, I want everybody to fall asleep quick as you can. I mean the deep REM sleep, quick as you can. Y'all look at me crazy like, what? Some of you guys like, bet, Pastor CJ, I'm out, you know. I'm out, I'm gone. I'm talking about the deep sleep that it takes time. But if you're taking notes, okay, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to pay attention with intention, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you guys this morning. If you're taking notes, the title of today's sermon is These Things Take Time. These things take time. Now, I don't know about you, Paula and family, but for me, like if I'm coming from Austin, Texas, and I'm driving through Llano, and you're going like through from Llano to Eden, y'all know those two-lane roads, and you got a semi in front of you, you want to pass, but you can't because you don't know if it's a car coming around the curve, and so you got to sit and wait patiently, and then when you see the passing sign is in 2 miles, you're like, thank you, Jesus, I cannot wait to get around this truck. Or you go to HEB or you go to Market Street, and you got to wait in a little line, and you're like, taking forever. Ain't it crazy, guys, how we go and wait in line and we step out of a line thinking one line is going faster, then that line begins to go faster. It's crazy. And so, but even with that, you know, we can go on and on. You could talk about being patient in different things, whether we're at a bank waiting for the cashiers or the tellers to give us what we need. We can talk about different fun things like that, but also there's more serious things. Some of you guys may be patient because you may be a spouse trapped in a marriage and you don't see it getting any better. Or you may be praying for a loved one to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You may have been planting seeds. You may have been praying for this person. Maybe even trying to bring them to church and you just feels like nothing has happened. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing is changing. Nothing is improving. And you feel like they're just lost because they are. Or you may be married and you're praying for conception of a child. You're like, God, I want to add to our family. You're praying day after day, month after month, year after year, and you feel like you just absolutely can't see this prayer answered. Or maybe you have a loved one who is sick and you're praying for their healing. These things take time, is the title of today's sermon. We're going to go in James chapter 5, Paul and family. And just really quickly, a little summarization of the earlier verses that James mentioned. He's talking to rich people. Now, he's not condemning them for the possessions and the valuable things that they have, but what he is talking about is stewardship, that we shouldn't try to hoard things, that we should be a blessing to others, and we're not hoarding things so they rust and they go to spoils, but God has called us to be stewards. When I think about Paul and student ministry, I am not the owner of Paul and student ministry. Ownership says, I can do with this whatever I want to. My job is to steward Paul and student ministry as the pastor, which means this. Now, it may mean something different for you when you have a business or a ministry or even your family. We want to improve and we want to cherish and we want to treasure and we want to make things as best as we possibly can, so when we do pass the baton or when we do pass the torch on to someone else, it's better than we found it, okay? All right, so he's talking about stewardship. Then he goes on into verse 7, and we're going to pick up right there, okay? This is James. This is Jesus' half-brother, and if you're taking notes, definitely pay attention with intention. Here we go. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. I'm going to pause right there, Paul and family. If you're taking notes, the first note is this, Paul and family. Patience with yourself. Patience with yourself. Patience with yourself. Here we have James, and as he talks about patience, this is a little different. He uses patience in chapter 1 as well, but this is a different type of patience, Paul and family. The patience he's used in chapter 1 where it says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you go through or when you fall into various trials, which means it's going to happen. You're going to fall into trials. You're going to fall into tribulation, and you're going to go through hard times and difficult times, okay? But he says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, that the testing of your faith will produce patience, and patience will have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give it without reproach. Liberally, he will give it liberally, without reproach, he will give it unto him. Okay, so James is talking about a different type of patience and waiting. The type of patience and waiting he's talking about is long patience right here. Some of us got short fuses. But let's talk about patience with yourself. Now, James keeps talking about, he's talking about a farmer, okay? He's talking about a farmer. And the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. In this passage, James is comparing followers of Jesus Christ to farmers. Farmers are waiting for the rain to come down on their harvest. Notice that they don't question or doubt whether the rain will actually come. As believers, we are also waiting. We're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, Paul and family. We can be confident and trust completely that Jesus will return, but in the same way, the farmers are trusting completely that it will rain. And let me say this, and I encourage you to take notes when we're talking about patience with yourself. Paul and family, do not dig up and doubt what you planted in faith. Do not dig up and doubt what you've planted in faith. Some of you guys have planted seeds, and the difference is, let me say this. The difference is this. There's a difference between when you plant a seed and when you bury a seed. The expected outcome is different. Don't dig up and doubt what you have planted in faith. Be patient. And farmers have to be patient, Paul and family, talking about patience with yourself. And it may be, you know, as they've planted the seeds in the early and the latter rains, which is basically like the autumn. You know, we're planting these seeds in the fall, and then we expect a harvest in the spring, but we have to be patient. We have to be patient. Something that is very difficult to practice. And the thing is this, when it comes to being patient with yourself, you know, many of us, we may be praying that God, you know, you've put this vision or you've given this dream and you've placed this on my heart to be able to go and accomplish things for your glory and to advance your kingdom, and you haven't seen it come into fruition yet. You haven't seen it become a reality yet. The thing is this, we have to be patient. And let me say this and write this down. The thing is this, when you have a calling on your life, you have to be tested. You can't be handled tenderly. You cannot be handled tenderly. You have to be tested. Patience with yourself. We all have callings on our life and things that God has called us to and fields that God has called us to, people that God has called us to, places that God has called us to. But the thing between my calling and your calling, our callings, we don't have to compete with one another. They may be similar here and there, but we don't have to compete with one another when it comes to our callings. So the farmer is preparing, all right, for the harvest with expectation and anticipation, not impatience and frustration. Something is happening under the surface that's unseen. And Paulette family, we have to learn this when it comes to planting seeds and when it comes to being patient. There's a difference between a delay and a denial. If we really want to be honest, if God answered all of our prayers, we probably wouldn't even know how to handle it. If we're really being honest, so sometimes God will say no, but then there's a not yet, a delay and a denial. And if we don't discern the difference between a delay and a denial, then we will lose our patience and we will lose our peace and we will stop pursuing the purpose in which God is calling us to pursue. Waiting is a self-discipline and it is simply doing what we should do even when we don't want to do it. It is not complicated, but it's not always easy, Pauline family. It is not always easy. And be patient with yourself. Not everyone can bear the pain of your destiny. Your journey could destroy someone else who was not meant for it, okay? Who was not meant for it. Patience with yourself. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Paul and family, let me say this. How would we speak to people? How would we worship? How would we read God's word? How would we seek the Lord's face if we operated and navigated as if God is going to come back today? How would we move? If God was going to come back today, if we were to worship like God is coming back today, we would worship differently. How would we speak and love those that Christ has called to love if we knew Jesus was coming back today? We should operate as if Jesus was coming back today, and that's how James is speaking. As if God is going to come back today. Today. Patience with yourself. Patience with yourself. We have to live as if Jesus is coming back today. How patient will we be and how we judge people if we remember God is going to come back today? How will we live if God was going to come back today? You know, when it comes to being patient with yourself, Paul and family, it's important to know this. You know, whatever God has called you to, and it may be some discouraged souls, you know, in the room, some spirits that are weary in the room, but I want you to understand this, that God has placed value on the inside of you. Thieves do not rob broke banks and empty vaults. They rob things that have value, and you have value. The enemy wants to attack you in your weak areas because you have value on the inside of you. To be patient with yourself as God works on your behalf in order to accomplish his purposes for your life. Be patient with yourself. The enemy sees value in you and it exists in you. So understand that God is working on your behalf, but be patient with yourself. Do not rush. You know, and let me say this, Paul and family. I think about, you know, how impatient we are. And as I pull out my phone, you know, we use our phones a lot, social media and different things like that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when they talk about being patient with myself, I struggle with being patient with myself because transparency is the purest form of Christianity. We get to admit that we're weak so that God can be strong. But I don't know about you guys, if I'm calling and I'm waiting for information that I'm seeking out, or I have to do something important, or I'm trying to pay a bill on the phone, and I make the phone call, and I wait, they pick up. Hey, how you doing? So glad I didn't get an automatic system. I didn't get a system that's speaking to me. I didn't have to press numbers or dial anything or press the star or press the pound key. I'm talking to somebody and they say, sir, can we put you on hold? And then you hear music like this. Don't that get annoying? I don't know about you guys, like, oh man, that gets annoying. But patience with yourself, and as I transition, here's the next point. Patience with people. Patience with people. You know, there was this, there was a married couple, and they were out shopping, having a good time at the outlets, they're out shopping, and, you know, hitting the H&Ms, the Neiman Marcuses, and, you know, shopping, looking, browsing, different things like that, okay? And they're shopping. And so the wife goes into this lady boutique, okay, this awesome boutique that she wants to go into, and the husband becomes impatient. Fellas, sometimes many of us don't want to sit and read a magazine. We just leave, okay? And so the thing is this, so the husband becomes impatient, and the wife goes shopping, and she comes back with bags, and then they go home, and the wife is trying on this awesome dress that she just purchased, and the husband said, hey, that's beautiful. How much did you pay for it? She said, $500. He said, $500? $500? What made you pay $500 for that dress? And she says, Satan made me do it. And his response was, why didn't you tell Satan to get behind me, Satan? She said, I did. But he said, I look good back there too. We gotta be patient with our wives, fellas, okay? We gotta be patient. Some of y'all are like, amen. Some of the women in the room who are watching, I'm writing that down, Pastor CJ. I haven't used that yet. I wish I'd have had that on Prime Day. We gotta be patient with people. The thing is, you know, there are certainties in life. There's death, there's taxes, and then there's difficult people. There's difficult people. We're going to encounter difficult people, but James is writing to us, for us, and letting us know how we are to deal with difficult people. But he says this in verse 9. He says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Do not grumble. And Paul and family, we know what grumble. Now, y'all know. Come on, let's be transparent in the moment here. Here we go. There are people in our lives. For some of us, it's relatives. For some of us, it's our children, all right? People in our lives that we are impatient with. Let's be honest. We can be at the family reunion, having a good time, dancing, you know, maybe doing the electric slide, you know, eating our food, and then that one uncle come in, you... changes your whole mood, you know? Changes your whole mood. We all have that somebody... can you throw up this picture real quick? Throw up this picture real quick. Now, these boys, I love these boys with all of my heart. Some of these guys got baptized today, and these are my young guys that I had in at camp. They were in my dorm. We stayed together. I was their small group leader. Now, as a youth pastor, it's easy to go to an upperclassman and get an upperclassman group because, you know, as a youth pastor, you get the first pick. You know, you can do that. But I wanted to be with the sixth grade boys. I wanted to be with them. And let me tell you, Paul and family, you need a lot of patience with sixth grade boys. Ooh-wee! Now, every single one of these young guys in this picture is awesome. And God is doing a great thing in their life. And it was an honor and privilege of mine to be able to invest and to teach them about Jesus Christ at such a young age to where they can understand it. But I had to put up with Axe baths at 12:45 in the morning and just, whoo, I'm like, fellas, come on. But the thing is this, let me say this. Hear this, patience with people. The next time you want to be impatient with somebody, remember God was patient with you. He was patient with you. What does Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 3? I think it's verses 8 and 9, that God is not slow in keeping his promises, so as we understand slowness, that he would not want anyone to perish, but instead, he is patient with us, and he wants to bring people into repentance. God is not slow at keeping his promises. He don't want anyone to perish, but he wants to bring everyone into repentance. So who are we to be impatient with someone when God was patient with you? Do not grumble against one another. God was patient with you. And let me share this, Paul and family. When it comes to being patient with people and, you know, building relationships, friendships, and everyone in the room, it don't matter how long you have lived. If you've lived enough life, you would understand and be able to relate to this. Being wounded and being hurt is inevitable. Would everyone agree with that? Being wounded is inevitable. It's going to happen at some point of time or season in your life. But hear this. To be offended is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice to be offended. People may gossip about you. People may slander you. People may speak evil to you and about you. But if you choose not to be offended by God's grace, you are invincible in the kingdom of God. Patience with people. You gotta be patient. You know, and it's important to know as a follower of Christ, your life, your heart, your character may be the only glimpse of Jesus that people may actually see. Some people may not step foot in a church, but they're watching your life. It's a choice to be offended. It's a choice. Wounded is inevitable, but it's the choice to be offended. You can always recognize the maturity of an individual when they have a disagreement with somebody because they would not assassinate their character. They would not speak derogatorily about that person. And you know what? It really reveals a lot about your character when you gossip about somebody else than it does their character. Patience with people. Patience with people. The Holy Spirit will have you, shh, don't say nothing. Because what we consider a crisis, we call it a crisis when it comes to conflict or whatever with people. We call it a crisis, but God calls it a classroom. You should pay attention. The Bible says watch as well as pray. Pay attention. Patience with people. James says, do not grumble against one another. Do not grumble against one another. Don't grumble. In a world where everyone has their own platform, it is difficult to engage in true dialogue. Let's not be fools, Paul and family, who value our expression over understanding. Let me give you some Bible behind that. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool does not care about understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion or his own heart. Well, I just gotta speak my mind. I just gotta give him a piece of my mind. Sometimes God will be like, mm-mm. You know, I talk about patience and it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me talk about another fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is kindness. Do you know what kindness is? Kindness would be like, hey, you know what? Let me help you with this table. Let me help you move that table. I can help you with that. That is an example of kindness. That's a form of kindness. Absolutely. But you know also what kindness is? Kindness is also not doing something. Kindness is sometimes not assuming the worst about somebody. Kindness is not leaving that reply on Facebook. Leaving that reply. That's what kindness is. Sometimes it's not doing something. Shh. Be patient with people. The next time you want to be impatient with somebody, remember, God was patient with you. We don't have enough time, Paula and family, to live in anger, to live in bitterness, to live in hatred and unforgiveness. That'll keep us locked up in our past. And the thing is this, I want you guys to understand this. Let me ask you a question. So if we were to all take a trip and we go downtown and we just kick it on Chadburn Street, we just kick it, okay? I like people watching. I love to people watch. And we just people watch. And would we see anybody, Paula and family, walking like this down the street? Would we? Come on, talk back to me. Would you see anybody walking down the street like that? You'd be like, hey, bro, you tripping. Something is wrong with old dude right here. The thing is this. We serve a God that is constantly calling us to our future. Our eyes are in front of our head for a reason. The enemy wants to always call you to your past, remind you of your past, unforgiveness, that bitterness, that resentment, that anger, that gossip, that slander. He wants to beat you over the head with your past, but your past is a place of reference. It's not your resident. You don't stay there. This is why we walk forward. Walk by faith and not by sight. We're moving forward, but we have to have patience with people. You know, we live in a day and an age, Paul and family, as you can see my clocks here. So as E and Peyton and my guys was bringing stuff out, I'm sure some of you guys are like, yep, that's our crazy youth pastor. Mm-hmm. He always got something. But you know what, Paul and family, we've heard this quote a time or two that a watch pot never boils. A watch pot never boils. So I just set the timer for 30 seconds, and we live in a day and an age where we want everything right now. Gotta have it right now. If our Wi-Fi lags, we're mad. If we gotta wait in a traffic jam, we're mad. If we gotta wait in a shopping line, we're mad. We just struggle with impatience so much, and it is terrible, and God needs to help us in that area of our life. But also, as a watch pot never boils, a watch microwave never beeps. And you know what we do when our microwave is going? Y'all notice how we always stop it on 1 second? Anybody else do that? Some of y'all like, man, Pastor CJ, you coming to my living room. I just did that this morning. We don't even let it beep. We just beep. I don't know why we stop it at 1 second. I don't know why we do that. That's crazy. Anyway, that's just how we are. But understand this, patience with people, patience with ourselves, Paula and family, we are a microwave generation. We want the toaster strudels. We want the Pop-Tarts. We want it real quick right here, right now. That's only going to temporarily satisfy us. But we cannot be a microwave generation that serves a crockpot God. What are you talking about, Pastor CJ? When God is working on our behalf, it will take longer than you think it should take. Because what he is trying to do in you matters far more than what he's trying to do through you. But here we are. We can use this with any fruit of the Holy Spirit. The patience of God to us becomes the patience of God in us. The patience of God in us becomes the patience of God through us. The love of God to us becomes the love of God in us. The love of God in us becomes the love of God through us. We can replace the fruit of the Spirit with any one of the others. It comes through us. And let me share this. I shared with the youngins, and I was talking to John 10:10, and it says this. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and death more abundantly. Let me share this, even though I'm talking about patience and patient with people. Nobody can steal your joy. Nobody can steal your joy. You surrender it. You surrender it. You let them have it. Patience with people. But these things take time. Talking about patience with people or patience with yourself, and even talking about the farmer that James mentioned in the early and the latter rains, let me say this. A seed doesn't know your background. A seed doesn't know your failures. A seed doesn't know your education, don't know if you got your bachelor's or your master's or your PhD. A seed doesn't know your socioeconomic status. A seed is genetically programmed by God to when you sow that seed will take harvest eventually. But these things take time. They take time. Be patient with people. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, we've got a couple more verses. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, when we read scripture, if you read scripture, if you study scripture, you would see all throughout scripture how people had to display patience. You can look at Moses in his 40-year increment life, you know, in Egypt, being in Midian, in the desert, and then leading God's people to the promised land. But when he was in the wilderness, when he was in the desert, and he was shepherding, he may have thought, man, you know, he's just shepherding and doing his thing. But God was at work on the inside and on the outside of him. Many of us, we'd be so excited or we'd be so frustrated and we'd be so impatient that we want to get out of the wilderness or we want to get out of the desert when God is like, I need you to be patient because these things take time. It's something in you that I need to mold and shape and prune and chisel so you can be the man or the woman that I'm calling you to be, but I need you to display patience. Even Noah. As he built the ark, yes, he was saved by God's grace, but he was also saved by his obedience as well. And I'm sure going back to Moses, as God prepared him to be able to lead his people out of Egypt, out of 400 years of bondage and captivity and slavery, that they would be impatient too, because you know what they did? Oh, Moses, we want meat, we want onions, we want leeks. Take us back to Egypt. We read the Bible, but the Bible actually reads us. Patience with people. Patience with people. The last thing I want to share, this last point, is patience with God. Patience with God. And I'm going to get into that point here in a second. You can leave that up there. I want to read this scripture because I want to talk to the youngins as well as all of you guys. James says this in verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth with any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no be your no, lest you fall into judgment. I'm going to get into that. And I find it interesting that he mentions Job. Job lost everything, lost his children. He was rich. He was happy only because the Lord allowed the enemy to be able to, you know, work in Job's life, but he couldn't touch Job's soul. And it's amazing to me how Job had a wife who could have been covering him in prayer, interceding for him in prayer. Hey, babe, we're going to make it through this. I know we lost everything. I know everything seems bad. You're afflicted and everything is just going to hell in a handbasket. But the thing is this, we're going to pray. But instead, she said, Job, you know what? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. It's interesting how he used Job. He could have used Jeremiah. He could have used Isaiah. He could have used any one of the prophets. Even threw in Moses, Abraham. But he used Job. And we can all learn a lesson from Job and his patience. Of course, God blessed him and restored much more than what he had before. Here we go. I'm going to read verse 12 again. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no be your no, lest you fall into the judgment. Youngins, listen to this. I want to chop it up with y'all real quick. And y'all talk back to me. Y'all know how friends, and I'm at y'all schools. Y'all already know that. So y'all know how your friends say, man, I put that on my life. Or I put that on God. Y'all know, talk back to me. Y'all agree? I put that on my life. I put that on God. That's what it's talking about right here. Swear can be a curse, but it can also be a form of a covenant. But the Bible is saying, don't attach anything additional to your yes or to your no. Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Okay, we have to learn to grow in our no's and we have to learn to bless our yeses. James is actually quoting Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's Matthew 34 and 5. I can't remember. Matthew 34, but he's quoting Jesus. Jesus says this exact thing. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be your yes, your no be your no. So be mindful that it's no such thing as talking. Don't add anything to your yes or your no. It's just yes or it's just no. Patience with God. Paul and family, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and you do not have a testimony if you don't have a test. My wife is from San Angelo, Texas. When I met her, we both played college basketball in Kansas, and when I met her, I'm like, hey, you know, my wife, she was beautiful, y'all. She's the most beautiful woman on the planet. I love her so much. And when I met her, I was like, hey, where you from? She was like, San Angelo. I'm like, oh, cool. What part of California is that? You know, San Diego, San Francisco, y'all, that's not too far-fetched. Come on, it's in Cali. Born in the inner city of Dallas, I'm like, man, it's got to be in Cali. That's cool. She was like, no, it's in Texas. And lo and behold, it's in Texas. My wife and I, we got married and we moved from Kansas. We lived in Kansas for a little bit. We moved from Kansas to San Angelo. And we moved here because my mother-in-law at the time was battling breast cancer. These things take time. And by the grace of God and the healing power of Jesus Christ, my mother-in-law beat breast cancer. Praise God. But when my mother-in-law beat breast cancer, I'm like, bet, let's get up out of here. I am ready to go. I am ready to go. God, get us out, babe. We can move back to Kansas if you want to. I was ready to go. I'm also a hip-hop artist. Some of you guys may know that. I rap. And the thing is this, I was looking for outlets and resources and avenues. I'm like, God, how in the world can I do hip hop in this country rodeo boot wearing, cowboy hat wearing city? This ain't for me. I'm like, they got tumbleweeds and all that, mesquite trees, nope. Take me back to the flatlands of Kansas or take me back to Dallas. I'm good there. I had a lot of pride and a lot of selfishness. It was a lot of things that God had to work out in my heart that I was struggling with. And as I was praying and as I was seeking the Lord's face, I'm like, God, please get me out of here. I want to go. It's nothing here for me. It's nothing. My mother-in-law beat breast cancer. She was the reason we came. Everything is good with the family. Please send my wife and I out of here. My wife wanted to stay. She's from here. My wife wanted to stay. And I heard her heart, but I was ready to go. I was ready to go. I was ready to get out of here. And the thing was this, as I was praying and on my knees and I was fervently seeking the Lord, he didn't answer my prayer when I was on my knees. Now, he can. He can, when we're on our knees, he can very well do that. But the Lord answered my prayer when I was out serving. And this is what the Lord shared with me, and I'm going to share it with you. He says, CJ, I have you in San Angelo not because that's where the greatest thing is. I have you in San Angelo because that's where the greatest need is. That's where the greatest need is. God has you at your place of work, in your classroom, at your school, in your neighborhood, in your community, right here in San Angelo, Texas, because this is where the greatest need is. Now, I firmly believe that people don't stay in San Angelo unless you're from here. Like, I just don't believe that somebody just want to just stay in San Angelo. You have to be on assignment from the Lord. You really do. Like, now, I'm not knocking San Angelo because I love you guys. I love our city. I love serving our city and investing in different areas of our city because it's been a blessing building relationships. Relationships are the reason people go somewhere. Relationships are the reason people stay somewhere. Relationships are the reason people leave somewhere. It's relationships. We're a relational church. We are a relational ministry. We want to build relationships. But let me share this. As the Lord revealed that to me, and I got an understanding of why I was here, I began to break down and I had to repent. I really had to repent. But I also got to see being patient with God and also what he got to do in and through my life. Now, this is not about me, but this all the glory goes to the Lord himself. And the thing is this, it matters far more what God wants to do in you than what he wants to do through you. Because somewhere, someone is waiting on you to do what God has called you to do. But in this season of your life, you have to learn to be patient. These things take time. They take time. Worship team, you can come on out. You can come on out. These things take time, Paul and family. Even right now, we can be so quick. Oh, got to go to the next thing. Got to get out of here. Got to go. To the camera people, I'm so sorry. Y'all know I just get up and run and move. They be like, golly, Pastor CJ. Pastor Curtis, a little bit more chill. You all over the place. These things take time. The Lord it's evident that the Lord is at work. We've seen so many prayers answered today by watching those students get baptized. Yeah, get the Lord a hand praise, yeah. The thing is this. In this season of our lives, we have to understand that God is at work. And we have to let him do his work. My mama used to sing a song, Paul and Family, and she led our church. And she's probably watching online. The song went like this. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. They go, oh, come on, snap your fingers. On-time God. Hey, yes, he is. And it went like this. Check this out. It go, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You can stop. Some of you guys gotta work on your rhythm. I'm working on that with our students. They be clapping off beat on songs. You shouldn't clap. I'm like, y'all, your youth pastor's a rapper. We gotta have some rhythm, okay? We wanna work on that. So listen to this though. Everybody, as you stand to your feet, you stand to your feet. And hear this as I share this with you because I don't want you to miss this. Because I want to always point this back to Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The best relationship we could ever have. But there may be some of you who are struggling with patience in this season. And I encourage you to stay put. Stay put. Don't be so quick to move on to the next thing. And I think about Mark chapter 4. I'm going to bring up two accounts really quick. Mark chapter 4. I think it's Mark chapter 4, where Jesus was asleep in the boat during the storm. And we serve a God that can empathize with us. We serve a God who went through everything that we go through. He know what joy is like. He know what sorrow is like. He know what it's like to be tired and fatigued. But one thing that we go through that we have in our lives, Jesus never had. God doesn't have. And that's panic. Jesus was never frantic. He never sprinted anywhere. He had a pace. Now, hear this. He was asleep in the boat, and they woke him up. He didn't wake up in a panic. You know, I wonder if Jesus was drooling, like when he was sleeping, if that was that good sleep, you know, like he was knocked out, and you hate to be waking up, you know, awakened from that type of sleep. He didn't panic. He just spoke, and it ceased. Also, I think about Lazarus. When Jesus got news that Lazarus had died, he stayed where he was. And of course, we all know if you read the word of God that he raised Lazarus. But if Jesus can raise Lazarus and change Lazarus' situation after 4 days, what makes you think he won't change yours? So as heads bow, eyes close. If you're in here and you're under the sound of my voice, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, just share the scripture, as Peter writes. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as we understand slowness, but instead he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance. If you're in here and you're under the sound of my voice, you're like, Pastor CJ, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we don't assume that everybody in here, just because you're listening to the words that come out of my mouth, you have a relationship with Jesus, you know Jesus, walking with Jesus, place your trust and your faith in Jesus. But if you're in here and you're under the sound of my voice, these things take time. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 6, verse 2, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, I just ask you to raise your hand in the air if that's you. Raise your hand in the air if that's you. No need to be ashamed. No need to be ashamed. Praise God. Praise God. Keep your hands in the air. Now listen, listen. This may be a little scary, but it's a simple act of obedience and you can do it. You can do it. God is going to give you the grace to do it. Because we don't want you to leave here the same way that you came in. So for those of you guys who have your hands in the air, we have ministry teams, we have prayer teams that are waiting to pray with you, that are waiting to minister to you. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. And if this is scary for you to do by yourself, bring a friend with you. If that's you and you have your hand in the air, I ask that you come out and come to the front and meet one of our ministry team members. They're over here on both sides. On both sides. You can lift your head up on both sides. Bring someone with you. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you raise your hand, come on, don't be afraid. Praise God. Praise God. Don't be afraid. Come on. Praise God. They're over here on both corners, over there. Both sides, both sides. Praise God. Praise God. Heads bow, eyes closed. Let me say this before I go into the next thing. We watch 14 students get baptized and come into new life in Jesus Christ. We talk about patience with ourselves. We talk about patience with God. We talk about patience with people. We have to get to the point of where we stop trying and start dying. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it is no longer I who live, it is Christ that lives within me. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. So if you're like, Pastor CJ, I have a relationship with Jesus, I just need to be baptized. It's on your heart to be baptized. Please, please, let's take care of that today. Find us after service. We want to talk to you. We want to set that up. Now here's the next order of kingdom business. Listen closely as our heads bow, eyes closed. If you're in here and you're under the sound of my voice, you're like, Pastor CJ, I hear you. I've been frustrated. I've been impatient. I know these things take time. You're a family, and you're praying for conception of a child, addition to your family, or you're praying for a loved one to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're praying for the healing of a loved one, or you're praying that God would speak to you and give you clarity on a dream that he's clearly placed in your heart, but you feel like it's dead. Maybe this is a way that God wants to reintroduce himself to you in a way that you've never encountered him before. If that's you and you're under the sound of my voice, I just simply ask you to do one thing. Just raise your hand in the air if that's you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. No need to be ashamed. There's no condemnation in Christ. Now, here we go. This is going to be, keep your hands in the air. This is going to be really easy to stay in your seat because we just like to be comfortable. But God does not work inside of comfort zones. He works outside of them. We cannot be reliant or dependent on our own strength and our own merit. So for those of you raising your hands, come on down and get prayer by our ministry team. Come on down. Leave your seats. Get out of your seats. Come on down. We want to pray with you. We want to minister with you. Come on. Come on down. Come on. Come on, move. There's ministry teams on the side. You can find them on both sides. Come on down. They're on both sides. Both sides. Ministry team, please raise your hands in the air so they can see you guys. Raise your hands in the air. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. These things take time. Now, as I get ready to pray and we enter back into worship, it's going to be real easy to get up out of here like, man, I got to beat the traffic out the parking lot. I got to try to get reservations at Cork and Pig or the Grill. I got some roast maybe cooking, Pastor CJ. I see that crock pot on the stage. As I pray, Paul and family, I want you to partner with me as I pray these things for our church, for our community, that these things take time. Because the last thing that I'm going to share with you before I enter this prayer and as we worship, let's worship like Jesus was coming back today. And understand this, that God has preferences for our life. But in order for those preferences to become a reality, we must participate. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much, Father, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do, not only through our church, but through our city of San Angelo. Father, that you will help us with a heart check. A heart check, Father. Do surgery that we need in our hearts. Help us to be patient. Help us to be patient and gentle and humble, bearing with one another in love, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Help us to be the men and women you're calling us to be, Father. We cannot see the fruits of the Holy Spirit evident and effective in our life if we don't have patience. So, Father, help us to be patient with ourselves. Help us to be patient with people within our city and our community and our jobs and our schools and our homes and our families. And help us to be patient with you, Father, because we know you are working on our behalf and you're the master of perfect time and you are not defined or confined to time. You live outside of that. 1,000 years is like one day to you. And Father, if we really want to look at that time, it's only been a couple days to you since Jesus ascended into heaven and sat at your right hand in glory. So Father, help us to be patient. Help us to wait on you, to trust in you, keep our faith and our hope in you. And I pray this in Jesus' holy, most precious, powerful name. I pray everybody say, amen, amen. Amen.